Hello, beautiful queens, and join me as we open up conversations that help women walk through difficult transitions and inner healing while unleashing the potential that God has placed within all of us to become untamed and unchained. In each episode, you'll get the tools and resources to create the change in your life that you desire as you unleash your vision, your gifts, and your voice and your confidence to live the life of your dreams. I give my listeners and clients love and support. However, I do take the direct approach and we cut out that BS in your life. So instead of playing small, you can create big leaps into your life. Now let's dive into this episode. Hello, queens. Today I am so excited to bring you my friend Mel. We met at a retreat in Arizona. And we took a walk together. We were given an exercise. When we went up through the hike, she was to share her story and I was to listen. And on the way back, I was to share my story and she was to listen. And we really got to be really vulnerable and share with one another. We didn't know each other prior to that. And since then, I have just watched her transform to where she is today. And I was like, I have to bring her on here. And she has to share her story. You guys have to hear it just because I have watched her transform in front of my eyes. And it's such an exciting journey. And today I am so excited because we're going to hear so many incredible juicy nuggets and just the wisdom that she shares with this world. So Mel, if you want to introduce yourself and what you're doing and who you are and all the amazing things.
Well, absolutely. First and foremost, I'm so excited to be here. And I could say a lot of the same things you just said about me, turning that back on for you and watching your transformation has been so fun and amazing for me to be a part of and be able to witness. So my story, I'm Mel Tingey. I reside in the lovely and beautiful, diverse state of Utah. And I hear all the time how beautiful it is. And it is one of the most diverse climates, which is funny because I'm not the most outdoorsy person, but I do love seeing it. And when you and I met, it was really the start of me diving into truly embracing the coach and the mentor within myself. I knew I was meant for it. I always have. And I've been very timid up until that point. And it has been a journey over the past 2 years for sure. And I'd still work a full-time job. So I'm a 9-to-5 girly. Or 8-to-5 girly, and then doing this stuff on the side, and it progressed. So what's to keep it short a little bit, what started as I'm going to build this coaching business, and I am, it took a little bit of a detour, and I had a very wise person share with me that as I'm on this path, to not be married to how it's going to look or how it's going to unfold, to keep progressing, keep moving and let it unfold and follow my intuition as it goes. And as I've done that, I was introduced to breathwork May of 2023. I had never participated really in any format of breathwork except being a human and breathing. And this particular breathwork is transformational triactive breathwork. And I was transformed, literally blew my mind. And I walked away a completely different person, with a new perspective on what our bodies are truly capable of creating for us. And that became my next focus. So I'm still working in deepening my understanding, my knowledge, my wisdom when it comes to being able to guide women. And for myself, I'm a very intellectual person. I can intellectualize myself better than some therapists. Where I was lacking and where I'm seeing so much lacking for a lot of working women is in the somatic and connecting to the body. And breath work gives us the three main things we need when we're born. We really simplify this down. And this comes from one of my mentors and friends that he learned. His name is Matt. And the first thing we do is we breathe. We need to breathe. The second thing we do is we cry. We need to be seen. We need to be witnessed. We need to be heard. And the third thing we do is we reach for connection and community. And so I now host and facilitate and have been trained on breathwork. And so I host them in my home And I'm actually moving to virtual this month. My first virtual one is next Wednesday. And that is where you get all three. You get the experience of completely being in control of how you're breathing and witnessing what that breath does in releasing emotion and energizing the body in this amazing and beautiful transformative way. You are in community with other women, and then you have an opportunity to share. And it's always encouraged, but never required. And you are witnessed and seen. So you get all three with breath work, and it's 100% free to do breath work at any point in time. And so often right now in society, it's, what is it going to cost for me to go through this transformation or to hire a coach? And yeah, there can be some cost involved, but also if you have the skills, you can do it completely on your own. You don't have to pay anything. And so I'm really working with working women who are really good at the grind, high achievers, tend to forget about themselves because they correlate their value with what they achieve in their job, because that was me for a decade. And breathwork has been the modality that has helped women. And I still have them texting me today going, I can't even put into sufficient words what one session of breathwork has done to give me clarity on questions I'd been asking for 2 years. So it is powerful, and I love what I do.
I could cry right now just hearing you talk about it, because I have discovered breathwork, and it is absolutely transformational. It does things to you that you didn't, it opens parts and pieces of you that you didn't even realize were suppressed. And the freedom that it brings, it changes your whole world. It changes how you see the world. It changes how you show up in the world. It changes your whole reality. And you had said that you're very intellectual. And I had to smile because I was like, that was me. And it came to a point where I was like, I can't even work with therapists because I can diagnose myself. Like, I can sit here and tell you what is like going on or what is wrong or what. My self-awareness is over the top. Like, it's so high that my inner critic is like running with, I don't need you to tell me more of what I need to do. I was like, there is a brick wall that I'm hitting. And it was the somatic part of it. It was learning how to release. And so what made you even decide to go do breath work? Because I know for somebody like you and I, who our brain is, that can be like breath work. I know for me in the beginning, I was like, breath, yeah. What's that going to do? Like, so if you want to share, what was that like for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, so where you and I met, that was an option that I was given to purchase into and attend when I purchased Kayla's coaching program. And that program, I started that, and they actually shut it down completely in September, the week after the in-person certification event. And Kayla was doing that program with another woman, Jen, Dr. Jen Chrisman. And Dr. Jen basically took what she had started with Kayla and took it 100 times deeper and relaunched the program. But I wouldn't even say relaunched it. It's not the same program at all. And that is the Embodied Coaching Academy. And in that academy, you are not only just getting life coaching certification, it's NLP certification, EFT certification, hypnotherapy certification, and breathwork certification. All of it. And I was like, oh, absolutely. I don't care what the cost is. You tell me what it is. I'm there. So I immediately jumped right into the next one. And that was fall of 2022. And it was May of 2023 that we had the in-person certifying event. And I didn't know that we would be doing breath work at this event. And it was part of the 3 days. So they're like, okay, we're going to do breath work. And I'm like, oh, we are? Okay. And one of the things that I'm really good at, and I'm the first to admit now, is that I know how to appear really professional and put together. And I can say the right things very well. And there was a resistance for protection, internal pieces that were trying to protect me from being fully just in myself, in who I am, and releasing the image that I thought I had to portray. And so the invitation, when they were beginning this for me specifically, it was Dr. Jen and her husband, Matt. And he looked at me and he said, there's going to be an opportunity for a primal scream. And when they said this, my body shook. I was like, no, don't do that. Don't ask me to do that. Because I already knew that when I full on scream, like full body, clench the body, release it like I'm she Tarzan, it's a very releasing thing for me. And I'd learned that years before and I'd avoided it since because it's a lot of moving energy that I wasn't ready for. So my initial reaction when they said this was, heck no. And then my second response was, heck yes. Because we can't control our first response, but we can control the responses we have after that. Because the first response, most of the time, is going to be a reaction from our subconscious.
Right.
And then we get to choose if we want to keep it or not. And I said, heck yes. So they guided us through my first ever breathwork experience as part of this live certifying event. And it came opportunity for the primal scream. And to say that I went all in, I totally did. I was hoarse for 2 days following that. I didn't have my full voice. And it, when I say it was transformational, there are no words to adequately describe the shifts that happened in my entire being. The connection I had to my intuition was leveled up because I now released things that I was suppressing, literally through breathing and screaming.
Yeah.
And so that shift was amazing. Had another opportunity virtually with Matt a couple of months later and just had this overwhelming confirmation and nudge from the universe saying, you need to do this and you need to bring this to Utah. This specific breath work. There's lots of breath work and sound healing, and I'm seeing it more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Even people that have done breath work, I had somebody a couple of weeks ago come to my event and they're like, oh, yeah, I've done breath work before. And she said after, but I've never had that type of breath work. That was some of the most intense releasing breath work I've ever experienced. So, what I'm bringing, because I was invited to experience this with Matt and Jen at the certifying event, is really transformational for the women of Utah.
Girl, I had goosebumps when you were saying about this release of the scream. And I agree, there is definitely differences in breath work because I have done breath work prior. And I feel like it like might have cracked me open a little bit. But what I've done in this past year is like it's expanded and released. And like you said, bringing your intuition up. And I see you, girl, I see you over there on Instagram. I'm like, she is doing this like leading. I saw that you have a virtual event, which I'm like, one of these times I want to hop on because there's just so, it's so good. And with all of just, what are some of the biggest changes that you have experienced in your life? Because breath is a word that is used a lot in today's society. And I know for me, it's like, okay, well, if I'm gonna go to that ledge, then I want to know what are some of the changes you've, like, why would I put myself in that position? So what are some of the things that you have like have transformed in your life and that you've experienced since doing breath work?
Oh my gosh. One, that is a beautiful question just for myself to reflect on. And two, that is a massive question for me to reflect on because there's so many different components that have shifted and so many that I don't even know if I'm fully aware yet because they've been so micro, right? Mm-hmm. I will say one of the biggest ones that has become very prominent for me is celebrating. Because being such an intellectualized human being that I can think and rationalize, and I'm an incredibly high achiever, give me the next thing to go get and prove that I can do something, that as soon as I had really achieved a major accomplishment in my life previously, I literally couldn't celebrate. And in a breathwork that was part of the certifying program specifically to breathwork that we did, it was our last one as a group, it was virtual and the theme was celebrate. Mm-hmm. And it was so hard. So everyone's loving and they're moving and they're like, this was so euphoric and just so, and I'm like, I'm crying going, what the hell is wrong with me? This is so hard. Mm-hmm. And that has been something that I've taken with me and going with the question of how can I practice celebrating? What can I do to practice celebrating? Because that became so evident to me in my body. Before I had thought it was just a mental thing where I was like, oh, I just need to get over it. And my body was resisting it.
Yeah.
And celebrating is literally, to me, I think one of the most important things that we can learn how to do. because it continues to carry the energy and the momentum and the excitement forward rather than making it end. And so that's a big transformation. And as I've had these little momentous things happen, I've made a point to stop conversations and be like, can you celebrate with me for a minute? Can we just sit here and can you just celebrate me because I just achieved this thing? I never, never would have done something like that a year ago and beyond.
Oh my God.
Because like, how dare I let you, like, why put myself on a pedestal? Be like, celebrate me. Yes, please. Like, I worked hard for this thing and it happened. So that's one significant. Second really significant thing that has continued to unravel and evolve is the connection to my body. My body knows the answers.
Yeah.
It might not know the result, but it always knows the next step that I need to take. And giving myself the space to connect with my body and breathwork and the space to integrate the things that come up through sharing afterwards with the other women and continuing to like journal on it and ponder on it and practice what has come up has allowed me to build such a better trust with my body and my spirit. Because the spirit talks to our body and then talks to our brain. And so often I was always like, oh, my spirit talks to my brain. It doesn't. It totally talks to my body. I'm very much like, I'm such a kinesthetic person. Like I am so like, here's how it feels in my body. And I can get real descriptive with it. And it finally hit me through breath work that I had completely or mostly detached from my body and made it all about what I know and not about what I understand. And understanding only comes when you truly embody it within every fiber of what you are, which is body and soul.
My gosh.
And those are the two main things that I would say have shifted for me.
That's beautiful. I just got a sigh right now. Maybe I should breath work. When you said about celebrating you, it brings tears because that's going to hit a lot of women hearing you say that. I don't think that's something a lot of women know how to do. I personally know that you just like honest confession, you just nailed it for me. And I was just having a conversation with my daughter this morning. We were discussing like goals and dreams and the shifts that are happening in my life right now. And something that I'm like, I can get frustrated because you just gave me the nugget as to why is because I'm like, I always tend to feel like I didn't do enough because I'm still unprogramming and coming back to being. And I was like, how do I stop this? Like, I've gotten better, but I want like the next nugget. And you just handed it to me literally is celebrating. And like you said, asking when you said to ask somebody to celebrate with you, like how beautiful is that to be witnessed? And so that also brings me to the question. I know when I did breath work like this year and I began and last year some, one of the fears that popped up for me, and I think this is something that I would love to hear your wisdom on it. I was afraid of being seen, like literally afraid of being seen in the breath work. And like you said, I too could say what I needed to say. And when I even think back on our walk at the retreat, we were probably so scripted, like thinking, I don't remember fully what we were saying, but I'm sure our brain was scripting everything that we really had to say to each other. And that was one of the things that I've noticed on you on Instagram as you transformed and as like your confidence came radiating from, you were embodying your confidence. It was no longer being confident from your head of I know things. You just radiated. You embody who you are and it comes shining from outside in. So for you to actually be witnessed and to be seen in that, what would you say to the woman that's, oh, I'm not afraid to be seen? Because I know I would have said that probably in the beginning. I'm not afraid or whatever. Of like for her to be like, okay, maybe going past our mind and actually allowing ourselves to become open to that.
Mm. immediately what comes up for me is an image of myself when I was little, and like I needed to be at the microphone of something. Even if I didn't know what the heck I was going to say, I needed to be at the microphone, but I needed somebody to tell me what to say. So the image and what that means, okay, that's that image. That's my experience of that as a young child. How does that translate to the adult that was totally okay being seen? I was like, let me have the promotion. Let me be the boss of these people. It'll be amazing. I'm so good at it. If you are that person that truly says or thinks that she's not afraid to be seen, are you also equally as confident to be seen in your imperfectness when you haven't mastered what to say, when you don't know this area yet? Are you going to step forward just as confidently and acknowledge, I don't know yet, but I'm going to? Or even just saying, I don't know, and I'm not gonna. Are you going to be that confident when you're good at it versus you're not good at it? Because that was me. I would not. And I used the excuse or kind of safe cape of, oh, it's because I'm competitive. So if I'm not going to win, I'm just not going to waste my time. Because I'm incredibly competitive. Ask my husband. The first Christmas we spent alone together, which was like, I think our third year into or after 2 years of marriage, like I had a full on temper tantrum because he was winning the game that I taught him. So I went behind our couch and I cried. I'm so competitive. So yeah, if I can be seen as this, I'm so good and I am the expert, you will listen to me. I will stand up there all day and hold that space and be like, But what I couldn't do is stand up and say, I don't know. Or I screwed up and hold it just as confidently. Confidently in that, like, yes, I screwed up, but that doesn't make me worth anything less.
Coming home to your heart and embodying the woman that you are is what I am hearing. And I so agree with you on the imperfections. I hid from my imperfections so big. And that's why I used to make myself so busy, because if I slowed down, then you might see an imperfection. And it also, for me, it built a wall in my relationships. Like people could only connect with me so deeply because I would have this subconsciously, the protective mechanism come up. And if they would get to a certain point with me, then it would shut down. And I didn't mean to do that, but it was like my body didn't feel safe. It didn't feel safe for somebody to truly see me for me, because like you said, what if I don't know? And I know for me, we had discovered that as a child, I was always problem solving in my home because my mom had mental health issues. So I was like, it was like fight or flight. It was life and death. If I didn't solve the problem, oh my gosh, she might go to the hospital. She might not feel good. She might get a mood swing or whatever. And so if somebody was like, you can start out messy. You don't have to know everything. My whole brain would give you 50 million reasons why I have to know it all. And I would go into proving to you even more of why I know, instead of, oh, I actually don't. And so what did you find that transformed in your relationships as you have gone through breathwork? Because I'm sure that you have probably, there's been a change with that one too.
Yeah. And I have to start even before breathwork, because it started very intellectualized and the breathwork has really helped the embodiment of that understanding. And so it started with my coach, Marcy, as I was very towards the beginning of working with a one-on-one coach. And I'm a big advocate for that. I've been working with a one-on-one coach for 4 years and will probably forever have some form of one-on-one. And I'm a leader in the organization that I work for. And I had been put into a position where I was the leader of all men. And they had experience that was different than mine. And I wanted to prove that I was qualified. That was the energy. I have to prove that I'm qualified. And as I was going through this and processing all of this with my coach, one of the things that she asked me is, how do you want to feel about how you show up with your team, regardless of how they feel about you? And it made me stop and really question how I was feeling when I was in team meetings and things like that. And I was feeling drained and defeated because I was fighting so hard. And that made me, that question gave me the space to consider and decide, oh, I want to feel loving. I want to feel supportive. And I want to feel confident. And so it was this intellectual process of identifying how I wanted to feel while I'm leading my team, regardless of how they feel. Because I'm, that was the thing, is I was trying so hard to make them all approve of me. And no one, no, not ever will every single person ever approve of you at the exact same time.
Right.
And then it just continued to grow from there. And not just in my team, it's like, how do I want to feel when I'm doing this activity? How do I want to feel when I'm meditating? Do I want to meditate? How do I want to feel? And so the intention of how I want to feel was brought into it. So then you bring in breath work with this intellectual piece of like, how do I want to feel? How do I, what will make me proud of how I show up?
Oh, that's a good question.
And bringing breath work into it allowed me the capacity, it gave me the capacity and the methodology to take these little pieces that had been just really wedged in there and stuck, that were the, but what if? Oh, but he doesn't. Oh, but she doesn't. And pull one out at a time and say, and that's okay. They don't have to, because I feel really good about me. Mm-hmm. And so even coming back to that first question of like being seen, mm-hmm. is as soon as I'm okay seeing all of me and feeling all of me and being all of me, I'm so much more willing to be all of me with other people.
Yeah.
And it was that, what will I do? How can I show up so that I feel proud of how I showed up?
That is such a powerful question. And what comes to mind when you ask that question is breaking the good girl syndrome, actually, in women that carry that, and cracking that shell that gets wrapped around the heart where they, and I know this was something that I did in my past, resentment would get built up on the, gets built up on the inside of us. And because we have manipulated and we have gaslight and we like shrink ourselves down because it's always, like you said, outside. What makes that? Oh, well, like, are they going to like, what are the cues? What are they doing? I need to prove myself, because there's a little girl version of us on the inside that is seeking some kind of acceptance, not wronging her because that was how we learned how to survive. Asking that question brings it back, because when we're proud of us and we are in love and we are being supportive of ourselves, that's what you automatically give in your relationships. Like that, mm-hmm. just, it just oozes and flows out of you. And asking that one simple question, when a woman can learn to ask herself that question, she brings herself back home, and she's probably going to find out how often she's doing things that she's not feeling that way. Mm-hmm. And it can feel scary. And I know, and I'm sure you've heard this, where men get frustrated because they're like, you're not the woman I married. And it's because she has forgotten what lights her up and what makes her proud and what makes her feel loved and what makes her feel support. Because she began to do everything to prove herself to him or conform herself to him. And that is, I'm like, literally, you gave such a powerful question, because once we begin to ask ourselves those questions, we look for the evidence with inside mm-hmm. of ourselves to do. And so what are some daily things that you had also mentioned, journaling? So what are some mm-hmm. things that you do that have just helped you continue to expand on this journey and grow where you're at?
Yeah. The number one thing I do on a daily basis, I'll say too, because one of these, it'll be like, yeah, that makes total sense. And the other one, some of the listeners might be like, really? Yep. Number one, I do morning pages. And it's so funny. They're called morning pages specifically. It comes from the book, The Artist's Way. I'm in a book club, and that was a book we read last fall, and we did the whole 12-week program together, and it's that book is a 12-week guide. And for years, literally since about the time I got married 7 years ago until that point, I had been complaining, like, I used to journal. I was so consistent every night. I journal and I had this, and then I just stopped and I can't get back into it. And in this program, The Artist's Way, for 12 weeks, you have to write 3 pages. Doesn't matter how long it takes, 3 pages. Because the whole idea for this book is to get writer's block out of the way.
Okay.
But since that's happened, I do it in the morning. I used to always journal at night. I now do it in the morning, and there's so much more inspiration. I get crazy downloads. Just yesterday, I'd been having somebody hound me for about 3 months. Can you please record a like guided visualization? And I'm like, some point, full download of it yesterday. And I was like, really? Like, my brain was blown away at what downloaded and how beautiful it was. And I was like, that did not come from me.
Oh my God.
And so morning pages for me, I'm not consistent with 3 pages every single day, but probably 75% of the time it's 3 pages. Today I got 2, but I got 2 pages. So every day it's morning pages. Yeah, I get up a little bit earlier and it's worth it. The second thing I do for me is I get ready. I am a cosmetologist licensed. I did makeup artistry for a number of years. Like, I was the kid. Funny story, that was obsessed with makeup. And my mom had an Avon lady. And I don't know if you remember or even knew about, they had these like mini lipsticks for their samples. And I got one and I hid it because my mom would not let me have makeup. And I was probably 6 or 7 years old. And I shared a bedroom with my sister, like shag green carpet. And I hid the lipstick behind my dresser. And it eventually lost its lid and I didn't care. It was fuchsia pink and I'd have shag green carpet coming off, but I'd go put it on and put it back. And it drove my mom crazy. Like, makeup is my thing. I love it. I love the artistry of it. I love the it's very meditative for me because it's process and I get to zone out while I'm building it. So for me, it's morning pages, let the intuition and the intuitive hits come, record them. I have post-it notes and things highlighted, ever come back to it. So I'm like going back into previous pages. And I never did that with journaling.
Right.
Morning pages, I go back to frequently, and then getting ready, getting myself like stepping into feeling really good. And it doesn't mean I won't go without makeup. I will. I just really enjoy the process of getting myself ready.
No wonder, because I always eye your makeup and I'm like, girl, how'd you do all that? Because it's just like your makeup always looks perfect and I admire it so much. And so for you to say you enjoy it, I'm like, okay, I'm glad, because, you know, not going to lie, kind of comparisonitis, because I'm like, yeah, makeup is not, it's just not my thing. It might be because sometimes we think something isn't. So I'm saying that in today, in the next month, I'm a woman. You might see me full on in makeup and I might be like, I love it. And that's what I love about this journey is you never know what's locked on the inside of you, things that we didn't know were in there. And when you were saying about writing, it brought up being intuitive. So how have you learned to listen more to your intuition? Because I know for myself, it's those little nudges that I used to just like bypass. Like, now that I think back, it was like my body was in fight and flight zone. And now, like, for myself, it's a daily practice to bring myself back home. And so I'm like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, okay. Listen, because when we've been so intellectual, our brain can quickly, I know mine can quickly still to this day, it can form a whole court case up there as to why we do what we do over here. Okay. So yeah, what is your thoughts on that?
It's an interesting question. And I've gone back and forth as I've just thought about this on my own, because in some way, the intuitive hits have been so ingrained, but they've been subconscious. Like, I had my mom say to me once, and I actually wear this as a trophy because it's like the best compliment. She said, "You make such rash decisions." And I paused and I looked at her and I said, but have they ever been bad?
That's so good.
And she stopped and she was like, no. And one of the key things, and I got this quote and I've used it, I made it my own, but I heard the concept of it from a religious leader. And what he's, and what I've made it my own is God can't drive a parked car.
Yes.
And if anybody's ever driven a car without power steering, he can't turn a car that's not moving. So for me, a lot of the intuitive guidance that I had received, that even when it was subconscious and I wasn't acknowledging it as the intuitive guidance, I do now, I'm very aware of that, is I started. Even if it wasn't the exact direction or decision that I needed to make, I was in motion. And then my intuition and God, they were able to shift me and go, awesome, you're moving. Now let's go a little bit more to the right. Mm-hmm. And now you're going in the right direction. Okay, now we're going to turn back a little bit more left. And they get to help guide me where I need to go and how I need to let it unfold. And for me, I would love to be able to be the type of, and these people exist. And parts of me, I'm so envious because they can just be like, oh yeah, I see what the next step's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I, while I'm a very visual person, I'm kinesthetic. I feel
me too.
What the next step is. And peace is my number one sign for me. And for somebody else, it might be joy. For somebody else, it might be whatever that is. For me, it's peace, and it always has been. When I'm moving in a direction and I'm making a decision that is in perfect alignment or the best alignment with my current trajectory, I have just this undercurrent of peace. There can still be worry and fear,
yeah,
but underneath it, there's this static confidence that comes from peace.
Yeah.
And so it's learning to find the space. So like morning pages gives me capacity for 30 to 40 minutes every morning to be quiet. I have lovely music playing so that I can just feel into this, like, how am I feeling? Am I feeling super angsty and uptight about it? Then maybe this isn't the right time to decide, or maybe it's not the right direction. Which way feels most at peace? And I always have a grain of salt with that because my body will be most comfortable with things that it's used to.
Yeah, that's so true. And that is mine. I am so with you, is peace. And it's funny because have you ever, when you're talking to somebody and you're like, it's a close person that you obviously trust and you share something that you're about to do or you're going to, and they're looking at you like you've lost your mind. And as you're talking, you're like, I know, like, now that I'm saying this out loud, it really sounds like a really big thing that I'm about to do, but you have full peace and it's, wow. Mm-hmm. And that has been my biggest thing too. That's like my GPS system is. Yeah. And sometimes my mind will go, Leona, are you like, and then I might come back home to your body. What do you feel in here? What is going on in here? You're safe to trust this. You are safe to trust your intuition. It doesn't have to make sense in your head because my head is only trying to protect me, and rightfully so in its way. So with your job, because you work in corporation, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
So can you share a little bit on that of just how you navigate, because working in corporation and then embodying the woman that you are, you're smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is a huge chunk. And I know a lot of women that work in corporation and I can hear a lot of excuses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say the word excuses, but just conditioning is better, probably, mm-hmm. word to say of like, yeah. Well, that's great for you.
But, yep. First on but, it's been since 2019. I work very, very hard to eliminate that word out of my dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an and girl and I've been called out a lot in the last few months for it. So that would be my first invitation is if you find yourself as a woman that's in corporate saying but, start practicing saying and. Mm-hmm. It'll feel so weird. It'll feel like it doesn't fit in. But all of a sudden, options start arising because you're considering and, that they both get to exist. So that started in 2019. And through this journey of first intellectualizing and rationalizing and thinking of it and about it from an educational standpoint and trying to put from mind to action, then shifting into embodiment and loving who I am and where I'm growing to. And it has been, this is really my focus of the women that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
It's women that work in corporate or corporate-esque jobs and are trying to find themselves. But it starts out with, I'm not fulfilled in my job yet. I need to have this next promotion. And so it starts there. And then what it comes down to is you. So for myself, how do I stay embodied and practice this? I'm not perfect at it by any means. It's very, very easy for me to be super hyper masculine mm-hmm. and drop the hammer at work. And what I have found myself practicing doing is space. I used to be the first person in our leadership meetings that we have every week, one of the first to constantly share my opinion about a question. Because I thought I had to be heard to be valued.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow.
Oof. I had to force my opinion. You have to hear me. Let me show you how smart I am. Let me show you my contribution by really participating in all of the meetings. And that doesn't mean I don't have ideas and I have opinions. I still do. I also am way more selective when I chime in. And I heard a quote from Pink about a month ago, and it's now my mantra. Of as women, we feel like we have to be loud to be heard or be loud to be powerful, but there's something to be said about quiet power. Mm-hmm. And so as women, especially in corporate, we do have to, in some respects, prove ourselves, unfortunately. That does exist. And that's going to continuously take more and more time to work itself through because corporate America is a results-driven environment, period, end of story. And so you have to have results. It's not just, are you a good person? So have the results and be the good person. And so what I have really, really done is it's in the one-on-one conversations with people on my team. As I'm sitting back is I can get into the nitty-gritty performance. Let's get in on to all of that. And I do when I need to, but probably 70% of my conversations are about the person and how are they feeling? And helping them step into their empowered self, regardless of what their performance may look like, because they may not be at this corporate job forever. Most of them won't. I don't know at what point God will say, you're not going to be at this job anymore. I don't know. Whenever that happens, it happens. And the number one thing is, how do I want to feel about how I show up at work? I want to stand for my values. While also being concerned with the growth of the company, because that's what I'm paid to do, in a way that is legal, moral, ethical, and in line with my value system. And there might be listeners that think, how do you do that perfectly? You don't. In my opinion, it's not perfect. There are times when I do have to make a few concessions here and there because it's a business decision. And the owners of a business have made a decision and my job, my paycheck is to do that in the best way I can. And I just had a conversation with a coworker yesterday and this was literally the issue. She's, I'm being asked to do this and I disagree with it completely. I feel like I'm being dishonest. And the whole conversation she and I had was, how can we help you deliver the message and have this conversation you've been asked to have in a way that's in alignment with how you feel about the situation so that you can accomplish what you've been asked and still feel that you've honored yourself in the process. And so sometimes I have to step back and go, okay, here's what I'm being asked to do and I don't agree with it. It doesn't feel right. Is there a way that I can accomplish it and still have it be in alignment for me? And if there's not, then there's a conversation that needs to be had. Most of the time, there is a way. But it requires us to give ourselves space to do it. So, and boundaries. That'll be the last one I say. I'm like the biggest proponent of boundaries. I used to be the girl that took my computer home every day and you could text me at all hours of the night. I will always be available. I'm not. I don't bring my computer home with me. I do not respond to text messages, work-related, outside of work hours. If I'm gone for the day, it'll wait till Monday or it'll wait till tomorrow. And that was not me. And it drove people crazy at first. Because other people don't like your boundaries.
Yeah.
But they'll learn to respect them. Or you get yourself out of the situation because it's your job to hold your boundary, not theirs.
That is really, that's intense for a lot of women to hold a boundary. And I love that you brought it up in the setting of corporate, because you can't work around that one of making, and for you to do something like that is so incredibly brave and so empowering for so many women. And for you to be able to witness other women and help other people, like at your job, it sounds like you're making a ripple effect. You might not even see the effect that you're fully making, but you are. You're valuing where does she stand and how does she bring it aligned to what her truth is, but deliver what needs to be done. That in itself, I'm like, girl, have you thought about going in and corporate? I'm like, okay, I have this whole vision that I'm seeing. I'm like, Leona, focus. That's the visionary coming out of me. Because I'm just, it just, even hearing you say that, and I don't work in corporate, but I know the corporate scenes because I have so many women in my circle that I have worked for and interact and are like sisters to me that work. And this is one of the frustrations that happens. And they, it's just, which they go in their masculine then of, this is what I have to do. How do I make this happen? And clearly, you know that. So what happened within you that you became confident enough that you were okay with setting those boundaries to say, no more, I'm not taking my computer. I'm not taking the phone calls and the text messages. This is who I am, and I'm not going to apologize for it.
It was progressive. It was not all at once. When I got married, I was like, my job is my life. So all of my free time, I got to do the things I wanted, but pretty much my job was my life. And I didn't get married till I was 30. Which for anyone who knows Utah, I was considered an old maid. That's a whole nother conversation. And so that, I had issues with that. But I was like, yeah, I'll work at all times. I'll work overtime. I'll go in early. I'll stay late. No big deal. I have no one else to answer to. It's just me. When I got married, I didn't want that to be my husband's experience of me. And so I decided, however it's going to work out, because there's this weird law that you'll get done whatever you need to get done and the amount of time you give yourself to do it. And so I said, okay, my time to do it is from 8 to 5. That's my time to do it. And if it doesn't get done in that time frame, it's not meant to. And it was more like a, it's okay, Mel. Like it'll get, remember, like you'll get it done when you need. And I had to almost soothe myself at the beginning because I wanted to stay and get it done. Yeah. And 98% of the time I'm out by 5:30, peace out. I'm home. I'm now completely separate from work. So that was the first step. Just let work end on time. But I was still available by text. I would still take my computer home. And it really honestly was not the whole, I'm just going to love myself and create this boundary. It took that boundary getting crossed so many times and impeding on beautiful moments in my life. That I was sick and tired of them invading my personal space.
Yeah.
So it was me not holding the boundary, and then it impeded on my life so dramatically that I became angry about it. And I said, no more.
Oh.
And some of us have to get to that point.
The pain.
That was me. I had to get to that point.
Yeah.
And now that got me to start, thank goodness. And now it's periodically, I still have the piercing through that boundary. And at moments, I'm like, they're making it my problem, saying it's an emergency and it's a weekend. Get them what they need, brush it off, and move on. But that's like 1% of the time now.
Right.
Whereas it was very often, very often, I would get those pieces. But yeah, I had the excuse of, I don't put my work email on my phone on purpose.
Yeah.
So when they're like, I need something, like, oh, that's, my computer's at work. I'm sorry, I can't help you till Monday. That became my awesome excuse, is I don't have access to it.
Yeah.
Sorry. And now I can just really hold that line because I see the beauty and the space and the peace of mind that boundary brought.
Yeah. And sometimes our pain point has to get so intense. And it can be really frustrating, I know, because we can, you know, our first initial humanness is, why don't they stop? And then it's like, oh, why don't I put a stop to it? But it's avoiding the internal of us, of that people-pleasing, perfectionist, performance, whatever that comes up for us that we're avoiding. But it's in such an empowering place than when you actually, because people don't know what they don't know. And if we don't put those boundaries there, then we can't even be frustrated with them because they don't know. We allowed that space and place for them to be. So it's for us to create. Oh, so much goodness. I'm so excited for every woman that listens to this because I'm just like, you've shared so much wisdom and just so many nuggets. And so, so appreciate everything that you've shared. And where do they, I know like we have Instagram, but like what, so you're doing virtual. So share a little bit what you're offering right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, because I know there's a woman or women that are going to listen to this that are like, okay, I'm ready to jump in and experience something different in life.
Yes. Okay. So virtual on Instagram, that's my main hub right now. So it's at Mel_Tingey, T-I-N-G-E-Y. And I'm almost daily, I'm sharing like, hey, this is the next breath work that's coming up because not everybody sees my stories every day and not everybody's going to be on Instagram every day. So you can connect with me there. The next virtual is this coming Wednesday, the 13th of March. It starts at 6:30 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time, which, side note, I'm not excited for time change tomorrow. Let's just get that out. Yeah, we all lose an hour of sleep tomorrow. So I'm going to bed early. You're welcome. There's your reminder.
Thank you.
So daylight time. We are shifting to daylight time. So 6:30 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time. It is $13. And we're capping it at 25 women. And it's an hour and 15. The breathwork itself, it's very much guided by the music. Of course, I'm there. I'm cueing you. And I try very hard to drop into the collective that are participating at the time. Like, what is the collective need? What are the pieces of inspiration or motivation or validation? And so I'm working very hard to drop into that, to be what that group of women need. And so it's about 45 minutes of active breath work. And it takes you through a journey where we start very gentle and we move into a lot of moving energy with the breath work. Most of the time, invite for a primal scream. And this one on Wednesday, we'll have an opportunity. So if you decide to join, let your family know that you're fine to let you be alone. If you're like me, you have dogs, then they get very scared when you scream. So they stay with my husband and they're whining until I come out after the scream. But, and then after we wrap it up, we'll take about 10 to 15-ish minutes and share insights that you received, things you were able to process, overall reflections of the experience. And especially for those who have not experienced a triactive breathwork journey, the invitation to integrate that experience through the share is strongly encouraged. Mm-hmm. It's I had somebody share with me, like, a journey or a ceremony is not complete until it's been shared, because there's someone else in that space that needs to hear what you have to say and share to finish integrating what they got out of their journey, and vice versa.
That is priceless what you just said. I, honest confession, I didn't even think, I did share, like I have shared mine, never looked at it as somebody else needed what I had to share in that moment. But it's so true, because I know when others have shared, it is those moments that is like, oh my gosh, like that's so, my biggest reason that I shared was because vulnerability was always my biggest. It was just like, so I have really, since I've learned how to open my heart up, when I have the opportunity, I will step forward and be vulnerable, because I'm like, I want to share and I want to face those, I want to allow others to see me and also be held in that space, you know. Oh, that's so beautiful that you're doing that. And I'm going to share your Instagram handle in the show notes too and all that so they can find you. So awesome. What is one last message that you feel on your heart to share to women?
It's a really good question. And I would say that right now, today, the thing that's on my heart is baby steps. So whatever it is you're feeling pulled to, or you seem to be more interested in, give yourself space for the tiniest baby steps and practice them little by little. Because we live in such a masculinized society, it's go all in, all or nothing. And that's a very masculine approach. And the feminine is about flow and movement within structure. And so as women are stepping back into their true, pure femininity within the safety of masculine structure, start with little baby steps and give yourself the permission to feel the shifts that begin to happen with each step.
Yes. That is so beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Unchained and Untamed. I'm confident that you received exactly what you require to unleash your potential and unapologetically own your feminine heart and soul and be the woman that God has created you to be. It's time to take the next step on your transformational journey. Apply what you've learned and know that I am here to support you every step of the way. I'd love to hear what your biggest shifts and ahas were that you received from this podcast. So make sure to shoot me a message and follow me on Instagram @Schrock_Leona. See you there.